So our second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Let's listen to the Word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. So this guy named Rick Boyne is a preacher out in Oklahoma, and he was talking about a couple of places in the world where he has lived in the past. One of the places he lived back in the late 1990s was Hong Kong, in the days when it was officially still part of the United Kingdom. And he says that the picture of Queen Elizabeth II was everywhere. It was on postage stamps and money everywhere he went. It was royal this and royal that. Hong Kong people, however, were not too happy with the monarch because the British government had just agreed to give Hong Kong to the Chinese. In the mid-2000s, he lived in the Kingdom of Thailand. And he says that the picture of the king of Thailand was not only on postage stamps and money, it was placarded all over billboards along the highways, in shops and in businesses, even in people's homes. He said every time he went to the movie, they would play a tribute to the king. Everybody would stand up while they showed this video of his life. The king's birthday was a national holiday, and everybody would decorate their homes with lights, a lot like we do at Christmas. All right, so as Americans, we don't resonate that much with royalty, right? I mean, you know, some folks like to read about royal people in newspapers and tabloids on the internet, but for the most part, we understand that they are people just like everybody else. As Christians, however, we do have a king, a royal sovereign, the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. His name is Jesus, and he deserves all that we have and all that we are, our complete trust, our total loyalty. King Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, has earned the right to be at the center of our lives. And so we're going to take a few minutes this morning and reflect on what that means for us. As we get started, let's pray. Great and mighty God, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've made for us, for this time when we can gather together here in this place, give you all glory, honor, and praise, worshiping your holy name. As we do worship, Lord, we pray for your spirit of power and grace, your spirit of might and insight, that we can have ears to hear, eyes to see and hearts and minds that can understand everything you've set before us. We ask in your precious name. Amen. So maybe you caught what Janine was just telling the youngsters. Today is actually the last day of the year, believe it or not. Okay, so it's the last day of the church year. Those of us who've been around church for a while know that the church year actually begins on the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, our celebration of Jesus' birthday. And ready or not, that's next week. So today is the last Sunday of the church year. Okay, and in church circles, today is known as Christ the King Sunday. It's a special day when we center in on the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the royal sovereign of all creation. And to remind us of that, we just read a couple of Bible stories that speak directly to that belief. The passage from Zechariah that Karen read a few minutes ago, and the story, the passage reading from for the sermon from Matthew 21, paint a vivid picture of the arrival of Israel's king. The ancient prophet, Hebrew prophet Zechariah, actually lived during a time when the people of Israel were trying to rebuild following a period of devastation and exile. You may remember that the Babylonian army marched into Jerusalem, destroyed the city, and carried off the people into exile. Well, many, many years later, some of their descendants returned to Jerusalem and tried to reconstruct a future from the rubble. Now, during that time of struggle, the prophet Zechariah had a vision of a fully restored nation. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion," he declared. "Shout out loud, Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes, triumphant and victorious, humbly riding on a donkey." All right, so hundreds of years later, as the gospel writer Matthew was reflecting on the first day of the last week of Jesus' life, he had that prophecy at the forefront of his mind. He remembered how Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and how the crowds who had followed him from Galilee waved palm branches in the air and laid them along with their cloaks on the ground as Jesus came into the city, and they shouted, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, normally, we read these two Bible stories on the Sunday just before Easter, Palm Sunday. They paint a vivid picture of the arrival of God's anointed king. The people who came with Jesus to Jerusalem from Galilee believed that he was the Messiah. Waving palm branches in the air, laying robes down on the ground, was a symbolic way of welcoming the coming king. They fully expected that Jesus was the one Zechariah had prophesied. Over the next week, all of those hopes and dreams just kind of fell apart. Okay, so they expected Jesus to bless all of their religious traditions. Instead, Jesus openly opposed their established religious leadership. Instead of raising up arms against the oppressive Roman government, Jesus gave himself to them. And by Thursday of that last week of Jesus' life, he had made enough people mad enough that he was arrested, he was tried, He was found guilty, and by about mid-afternoon Friday, he was hanging dead on a cross. The ground came completely out from under everything those folks had hoped and dreamed of. Darkness descended upon their world, and everything unraveled. The most significant thing about all of those events is that it's not something that happened just that one time. It happens every single day. It happens to every single one of us. At some point in our lives, you've either gone through or are going through or will go through times when you snatch defeat right out of the jaws of victory, and it's all laid waste on the ground. The biblical witness, the great and glorious good news of the gospel, is that on Sunday of that week long ago, Jesus took all of that and turned it completely upside down. Death did not hold him. He transformed the defeat of death into the victory of life, and he has invited every one of us to come join in the victory. So what that means for us is that no matter where we may find ourselves, no matter what we may be going through in our lives, no matter how bad things seem to get, no matter how good things may seem to be going, Jesus is King. And as we behold our King, as we put our complete trust in Him, as we give Him all of our loyalty, put Him at the center of our lives, we discover the power our King has to give. And there are several gifts that get us connected to and keep us connected to the power our King offers. One of those gifts is worship. So every Sunday morning we get together in this place to celebrate and rejoice in our King. But it's not something that can happen only once a week. It can happen every single day. We can look for ways to find the joy and the celebration in our King wherever we may find ourselves, in whoever's company we may happen to be in, whether it's folks that we know, whether we're by ourselves, we can find ways to rejoice in our Lord. In fact, when he was writing his letter to his friends in the church in Philippi, the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord on Sunday morning. Always, again, I will say, rejoice." I was recently reading about this guy named Richard Starnes who was visiting a church down in Haiti. At the time, Richard Starnes was the president of an organization known as World Vision. And it was about a year after that devastating earthquake down in Haiti that you might remember. It happened back in 2010. Okay, so he's visiting this church building that was really just some white tarps held together by duct tape. Okay, and along the front row during the worship service, there were several amputees ranging in age from 6 to 60. They were all clapping and smiling and praying and praising God there together, but none of them were singing any louder than a 32-year-old mother of two named Demosi Lufine. During the earthquake, a building collapsed on top of her and crushed her right arm and her left leg. After 4 days, both limbs had to be amputated. Yet there she was, leading the choir, standing on a prosthetic leg, raising her one hand high in praise to God. Starnes said he had the chance to meet Demosi and her two children after the worship service. They were living in a 5x8 tent. This woman had lost her job. She had lost her home. She had lost both two of her limbs, yet she was giving thanks and praise to God for saving her life. On January the 10th last year, 2010, on January the 10th last year, she said to Starnes, "Jesus raised me like Lazarus, giving me new life." Wherever we may find ourselves in life, we can worship our God and our King. And as we do, we will find the power that He has to offer. Second gift our King gives us to get us connected to and keep us connected to His power is the awareness of His continual presence with us. In that same letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, "Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near." It's an invitation to let the King guide you in all of your life. When Jesus was hanging on the cross on that Friday afternoon, He was completely engulfed in God-forsakenness and death. He had made it clear that if He wanted to, if He chose, He could have called 10,000 angels to come wipe everybody out and deliver Him. Jesus deliberately chose not to do that. He did not react in harshness. Jesus did what was right so that we can do what is right. A mother once went to talk to her son's teacher at school to get help with her son's eating habits. "Please," she begged, "tell my son to stop eating so much sugar. He'll listen to you. Come back next week," the teacher said, "and ask me again." So the mother left and came back 7 days later. "Please talk to my son about the dangers of eating so much sugar," she asked. "Come back next week," the teacher said, "and ask me again." Well, the mother was disappointed, but she left, and then 7 days later, she was back. This time, the teacher agreed to talk to the young man. And after the conversation, the mother thanked the teacher for doing that. And she said, "I'm really grateful that you took the time to talk to my son about eating sugar, but I don't understand why I had to ask you three times." Well, the teacher said, "I didn't realize how hard it would be for me to give up sugar." You see, she was not willing to make a demand of someone else that she was not willing to do herself. Jesus never asked anyone to do anything that He has not already been through. Jesus promises to walk with us every step of the way. As we open our hearts, our minds, our souls to recognize just how close Jesus is to us, we will experience the power He has to offer. And a third gift that the King gives to help get us connected and keep us connected to His power is confidence. No matter what we may be going through, no matter how hard things may seem to be, we can always remember that God is still God. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our King." Years ago in Scotland, the Clark family had scrimped and saved money for years. Their plan was to travel with the entire family, mom and dad and nine children, to the United States. And so they had finally saved up enough money. So they got their passports and they booked passage on a brand new ocean liner. Just a couple of days before their scheduled departure, their youngest son was bitten by a dog. Now the doctor came over, sewed up the leg, and then hung this big yellow flag up on the door because of the threat of rabies. The little boy was quarantined for 14 days. The family's hopes and dreams were shattered. They were not going to America. The father, in a fit of disappointment and rage, stomped down to the dock, cursed God, cursed his son, cursed heaven and earth, and watched as he watched the ship depart. He went back home. 5 days later, news arrived in Scotland of the sinking of the Titanic. The Clark family was scheduled to be on that ship. Because of a dog bite, they weren't. Okay, it's amazing how quickly things can just fall apart. It just doesn't work out the way we wanted them to. Plans get scuttled, loved ones leave us, businesses go under, lives get left in shambles. Okay, the sun shines, it's great and glorious, all is good and right with the world. In all of life, Jesus is King. So worship the King. Recognize that the King is as close to you as your very own thoughts. Have confidence that the King knows what He's doing. As we behold the King, putting our complete trust and loyalty in Him, putting Jesus at the center of our lives, we will discover the power of the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, we thank You for being in control. We pray, dear God, that You will help us to understand that we are not in control, but as we give ourselves to You and trust Your continual presence with us, You will bring us through whatever it is we may be facing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.